And welcome. This is episode 175 of the Veg Grower Podcast, and this week it is titled Homegrown Drinks. My name's Richard, and today is the 2nd of July 2018. Now, I can't believe it's July already. Where is this year going? It literally seems like yesterday we were just welcoming in the new year. That being said, it's certainly summer. The hot weather this last week, it's hot, and everything is, the land is quite dry, shall we say. So, anyway, more on that in the diary. What are we going to be talking about today? Well, I have the diary, as I share every week. Then we have what the calendar suggests to do for this next week, as I do every week as well. And then after that, I've got a few ideas of turning some homegrown produce into some drinks. Now, I do like making a few drinks out of my edible crops. I find certainly with some crops that I get far too much. And I'm always trying to think of imaginative and different ways of using them up. And I think drinks can be actually a very different way of using these things up. But before that, let's get on with the diary. Now, every day last week, except for Thursday and Friday, that's purely because I was away for those 2 days, but every other day, I managed to go to the allotment and do 15 minutes of weeding. Now, nothing more, nothing less, except for Saturday, but we'll come to that later. But just 15 minutes of solid weeding. And I set myself that target for a reason. And it really paid off. Now, 15 minutes is not a very long, to be fair. But that meant that while I dedicated my 15 minutes of weeding to weeding, it didn't feel like a chore. Yet just 15 minutes of weeding, I stood back and I had a really good clear bed. And then the next day, I would come back and do the next area. And pretty soon, I was on top of all the weeds, which is a really, really good idea. So this spending just 15 minutes every day on the allotment is making the world of a difference, to say the least. Now, that might sound really obvious, and you're probably shouting at your listening device and telling me, "Oi, we know this." Well, it's always been my plan to visit this allotment daily, but due to my job, it's not that easy. I also think I've had an element of the fact that my original allotment was an hour away, so I couldn't just pop there daily. And I think that element has stuck with me, and it's a very hard habit to try and break. So now I am making a difference and starting to break it. It's really, really paying off. It's also the old adage that Sean James Cameron uses a lot. Little and often. And I've said it before as a way of controlling weeds, and it's just something I've got to do, and I'm adopting it now. It's really paying off. Now, while at home, it's been a case of watering plenty of the plants, especially in the pots. They're drying out really, really quickly. I am hearing murmurs of hosepipe bans in certain areas, and with all this hot weather, and it's not really rained for a few weeks, I can see why it's going to happen. Now, thankfully, I've still got 4 water butts full of water, so I should have enough to keep me going. But that, we'll see. I do have a lot of water butts, to be fair, and you know how I feel on that. Now, one of the jobs I've been doing in the evenings, it's been tying in the plants, especially tomato plants, just to keep them growing upright and straight. And I've also been removing side shoots. Now, this is pretty much the same as I was doing last week, so not much has changed. Saturday, I headed down the allotment, and originally I had only planned to go there for a couple of hours. I ended up spending 6 hours there. Now, it was a lovely day and I was enjoying myself, so I didn't mind it. The first task I carried out was to get my barbecue on the go, and I was smoking some duck breasts while I was working on the plot. And I love doing this. I love barbecue at the best of times, as you know. But what I love doing this kind of thing is that while I'm working, I've got this food cooking, and I know it's going to be my lunch. I've got that thing to look forward to, and every now and then I'll just get that whiff of whatever's being cooked. Just while I could be doing weeding or watering, I just get that whiff, and I'm like, oh yeah, the sound smells good, and it just lifts the spirits, motivates me. I absolutely love it. So yeah, I was cooking up some smoked duck breasts. So while that was cooking, my first task was strimming. And yes, this week I remembered the petrol for the strimmer so I could actually strim. Now, I strimmed the grass areas, and it just made it look a lot tidier. And that doesn't take much to make it look tidier. Just the strimming just transforms a place. So always worth remembering that. After that, I then carried out more weeding, and the 15 minutes has really paid off. So I got on and done a hell of a lot more, and really am pleased with how much of the weeds I have removed. Okay, at the moment, it seems like I'm talking about a lot of weeding, which at this time of year isn't uncommon. But now I'm getting on top of it, and it's actually a real relief. After that, because I had some areas that were empty, I cleared the weeds from them. I had no plants in there. They either died or hadn't planted any in. I had lots of spare plants that I'd sown from seed, and because these were left over, and I'm not fussed if they make it or not, they're just kind of spare. So I threw those in wherever I could fit them in, really, which isn't very organised, but I don't care as long as I get food out of it, really. One thing that I did have that really needed to go in, and actually they're quite late, was my leeks. Now, I sowed these leeks earlier on in the year, in my usual way. I then moved them to the allotment with the intention of planting them out, but I just never got round to it. Now, hopefully they will be okay. I've got them in the ground. I just done the usual of dipping a hole, dropping them in, watering in, and see what happens. And they were quite thick and strong anyway, so they should be okay. And leeks do take a while to grow, and they do get through the winter, so I think they'll be okay, but we'll see. They may not be as good as last year. We'll see. The most important thing that I've got to do at this stage is keep them well watered, because obviously we are in this drought season. They are seedlings. They need establishing. They're going to need watering. After this, I harvested more of my onions. And there was one particular variety that was harvested, and this variety was called Troy. Now, these were grown from sets, and I sowed the sets on the 15th of October 2017. And the onions themselves are a really decent size. I'm very, very pleased with them. But the reason I harvest them, I mean, it is about time to harvest onions anyway, but I normally wait until the tops have toppled over, like I did with my Japanese onions a few weeks ago. Well, it looks like there was something wrong with the foliage on these. The tops of them had all turned brown and dried out, yet they hadn't toppled over. The only way I can describe it is it looked as if they had been hit with weed killer, which I can't quite understand. The variety next to them, my red onions, and even the Japanese onions that are still in, they haven't been affected at all. So I don't think it is like a neighbour's been spraying weed killer and it's drifted over. It's a bit of a mystery, but I'm not too worried because, as I said, it is time to harvest them. So they've came out the soil, and they are now in my greenhouse drying out. Now, after that, my lunch was ready, so I stopped by and had a smoked duck sandwich. It was delicious. I actually made an onion relish out of one of the onions that I harvested. And I then, after my little bit of lunch, had a few minutes just to let my lunch go down. I set about harvesting anything that was ready. And I had gooseberries, peas, broad beans, and a great amount of food coming in. Now, without all that done, I did a bit more weeding and then headed home. Sunday, I was at home and the wife decided she was going to hack back some of my various hedges and things that they do tend to take over. These aren't necessarily edible hedges, they just needed a hack. Now, we have a system. She hacks anything back, she places it on the lawn, and then I run over it with a lawnmower. Now, this gets all the leaves and all the wood just chopped up really nice and small, and that then goes into the compost bin. Being chopped up small means it will rot down fast, it will compost fast, and in fact, the bin that I placed these choppings in, I checked on it earlier today, and there's steam coming out of it already. So, yeah, it acts fast. And that's the reason why I run over it with my lawnmower. Unfortunately, the lawnmower I'm using doesn't have a collection box. Instead, I'm having to rake around afterwards. But until I can afford a new lawnmower, hey, it's a bit of work. After that, it was a case of just watering in the evening and not really much more to say about the home plot. It's kind of looking after itself. Apart from watering and tying in and harvesting various bits, it's pretty easy. I mean, I don't even need to weed the vegetable patch because the chickens do it for me. So, yeah. Now, that brings the diary section up to date. But there's one thing I'm just going to add at this point, and it's something that happened over the weekend. Now, my good friend Richard Voves from the Bald Explorer contacted me. Now, you may remember a couple of weeks ago I interviewed these two on my allotment, just getting their ideas and their thoughts as non-gardeners. Well, I think they've got the gardening bug. They spent the weekend digging over an area in Julia's garden to use as a vegetable patch. Now, they've removed a lot of teasels. They've sifting through the soil to try and lift it. And they're asking me for ideas and things. And I've given a few thoughts, but I'm going to pop round there one evening this week and I guess be a bit of a consultant and just give them a bit of advice and see what they do. I'm going to be recording this on audio and try and get regular updates for the podcast. It's something like a Julia's Kitchen Garden section, I think. Just want to get her experiences with Richard as well of growing, being beginners and growing her own food. And I think, because I know I get quite a few beginners listen, and I think it'd be great to share their experience. And again, we can all learn. And anyone wants to chip in with any advice for them, then please feel free. Right, so now let's take a look at what the calendar recommends to do for this week. Well, it reads, high summer is here and the garden is in full bloom. The herbaceous border will remain colourful until September, if care is taken to remove flowers as soon as they fade. Harvest culinary herbs on dry days just before they flower and cut lavender for drying. Well, yeah, I agree with what they say on herbs there. It's always good to have a few herbs into storage for use in the winter. So, yeah. So let's get on with a few drinks made from homegrown produce. Now, you know, you should know me by now, and I love using whatever I can make from anything edible that I have grown. It could be chutneys, could be jams, it could be anything. And drinks just seem like a very different approach and an interesting approach. As always, when I do this type of podcast, there's going to be three recipes, and I've made these all myself. You don't have to remember the recipes. There will be links on the blog. And if you want some more information on this, I've got two recipe books that I've been using for a few years, specifically for making drinks. The first is called Drink Your Own Garden, and it's written by Judith Glover. And it's a really great little book full of interesting recipes. And it's, I often grab it just when I'm looking for inspiration. And the other book is Home Brewing by Kevin Forbes. And it is often out, especially since I've started making wine or got into making wine from my homegrown produce. Now again, I'll add links to these two books should you be interested. Just simply head over to theveggrowerpodcast.co.uk. If episode 175 isn't up there, just enter it into the search box and Bob's your uncle, you'll find the links. Now my first one is actually a pretty simple one, and it is rhubarb cordial. And I find this a great way to use up excess rhubarb. And it, when I've given it to various friends, it's proven very, very popular. Now what I do is simply take a kilo of rhubarb, wash the rhubarb obviously and chop it, and then place into a pan. Into that pan I'll add a peeled and chopped thumb size piece of ginger and about 100 ml of water. I'll then place a lid on top of the pan and just bring it to a boil and then reduce to a simmer and cook until all the rhubarb is, well, soft and falls apart easily. I'll then strain that through a sieve overnight and reserving the liquid, because that's what we're going to want. The next day, I'll measure out how much liquid I've got. I pour the liquid into a pan with 500 grams of granulated sugar for every litre of liquid. And just gently heat the liquid until all the sugar is dissolved. Then we pour this syrup into clean, sterilised jars, leave to cool, and it's ready. When you want to have one of these rhubarb drinks, just simply pour a bit of the cordial into a glass and add some water, depending on how you like it. I normally do about 1-4 ratio, but adjust it how you see fit. And of course, ice and everything goes really well in this. Now my next recipe is one that last time I made it, it didn't quite go to plan, but when I've made it in the past, it's turned out well. And this is mint lemonade. And this recipe was actually shared to me by a customer of mine who serves this to her customers in a restaurant. And what we do, we take a good handful of mint leaves, place that into a blender with 3 lemons and 2 limes that have been peeled and de-seeded. I'll then add a spoonful of honey and then just blitz this in a blender until it's all a nice liquid. This mixture is then poured into a glass and diluted with lemonade or soda water. Now, I personally prefer it with lemonade, but some people prefer soda water. And what I like about this is the mint just adds a really nice refreshing flavour to it. Now I have left it to steep for a day and it's turned out fine. Unfortunately, I haven't quite got it as good as my customer made it, but it is so easy that it is well worth experimenting. And again, mint grows like mad. And I'm sure you have plenty of it in your garden that you just trying to find things to use it for. Now my final recipe is gooseberry wine. And this can be made a variety of ways, but I make it in this way that I'll talk about. Now at the moment, gooseberries are in season and they are delicious once you get past the spikes to pick them. And gooseberries produce a lot of fruit and very, very easy to look after. So if you haven't got any gooseberries, I highly recommend them. Now to make this wine, I take 1.4 kilos of gooseberries and place them in my fermenting bucket. These gooseberries are then just crushed until they're nice and pulpy and then cover with 3.4 litres of water. And then I'll add a crushed Camden tablet and leave that. Oh, and a teaspoon of pectin enzyme, sorry. Then I'll just leave that for 48 hours, stirring every now and then. Now, after the 48 hours, I will heat another 1.1 litre of water and dissolve 1.2 kilograms of sugar into it. Once all the sugar is dissolved, I'll let it cool before adding it to the gooseberry pulp. I will also add a sachet of wine, a sachet of yeast nutrient and grape tannin. Now this is left to ferment in somewhere warm for about 3 days before being strained and the liquid then transferred into clean demijohns. The demijohns have an airlock fitted and that is left to ferment. After a while the liquid will start to kind of clear and sediment will stack and lie at the bottom, and we want to rack this off into another clean demijohn. Racking off is just simply taking the liquid out the top, leaving the sediment behind, because we don't need a sediment. Sometimes you might have to rack off twice, but once is normally enough. Now, after racked off, you obviously fit an airlock again. And keep an eye on that. Once the bubbles stop appearing in the airlock, fermentation is completed and it's time to bottle and store. Once it's in storage, somewhere cool and dark, it'll take about a year to mature, which sounds like a long time, but it is well worth it. So that is a few of my drink recipes. If you've got any that you would like to share, please get in touch. Now, you can either do that by visiting my website, theveggrowerpodcast.co.uk, or you can email me at richard@theveggrowerpodcast.co.uk. Now, I'd really love to hear everyone's different ideas of making drinks from the homegrown produce. Well, that's it. It's time for me to wrap up again. Getting on, it's a late night tonight. But thank you very much for listening. Please take care. And I shall see you all again.